In the new Netflix movie, I Care a Lot, Rosamund Pike plays a slick grifter who repeatedly tricks her way into becoming the legal guardian of elderly individuals, and then drains their bank accounts. It's a well-oiled scheme until she messes with the wrong target, a woman with a dangerous background played by Diane Wiest. It's an acidic comedy thriller with no shortage of plot twists and turns. Plus, it's got Peter Dinklage and Chris Messina having fun while playing shady characters. I'm Aisha Harris, and today we're talking about I Care a Lot on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR, so don't go away.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capital One. Welcome to banking reimagined. Capital One checking and savings accounts have no fees or minimums and a top-rated banking app that lets you manage your money anytime, anywhere. Check on the account balance, deposit checks, pay bills, and transfer money on the go. This is banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Capital One N.A., member FDIC.
Welcome back. Joining us from her home in Washington, D.C. is NPR political reporter Danielle Kurtzleben. Welcome back, Danielle.
Yes, I'm really happy to be here.
Me too. I'm excited to talk about this with you because I know you have some thoughts.
I have feelings.
Yes. But before we get into that, let's start with a little bit of a primer. Within the first few minutes of I Care a Lot, we learned that Marla Grayson, who, as we already mentioned, is played by Rosamund Pike, she's a scammer. With the assistance of her lover, Fran, played by Aza Gonzalez, Marla is able to convince a gullible judge that certain elderly people are no longer fit to look after themselves. So she becomes their legal guardian, has them committed to a senior living facility, and then wields her power to swipe out all of their money and possessions. Diane Wiest plays Jennifer Peterson, who's a woman of sound body and mind, and Marla's newest victim. But it turns out Jennifer has some shady and powerful connections of her own, and Marla becomes entangled in some dangerous dealings. The movie is written and directed by English filmmaker Jay Blakeson, who's probably best known for his debut, The Disappearance of Alice Creed, which is a twisty thriller centering on a kidnapping. Here, I Care a Lot has a lot of noirish elements, particularly in its cynicism and collection of unsavory characters. Along with Marla and her team, Peter Dinklage plays Roman, a ruthless kingpin, and Chris Messina shows up as a sleazy lawyer. So, Danielle, what are your thoughts about the movie?
All right. So my thoughts have changed. When I first finished this movie, I was like, that was fine. That was good. B minus B, you know, fine. Mm-hmm. I like me a dark movie. I don't mind seeing characters be shady and lack scruples. That's great. This movie falls into that category. There is virtually no one who is super likable here, except maybe Diane Wiest. But the more I thought about this movie, the more frustrated I got because I realized they're just wasn't a lot there for me to latch on to and really think about. It feels like a movie that is screaming social commentary, capitalism makes monsters of us all, which, excellent message to run with. Like, that is a fine thing to talk about. Plenty of movies have. There were two big problems that I'll try to get very quickly through them. One is Rosamund Pike's character. Now, Rosamund Pike, the actress, great. She's really good in this, given the script that she has. But her life is elder abuse, essentially. And we never hear, what made you this way? And also, what motivates you? Why do you do this? Like, presumably money, okay. But we don't see, you know, a Wolf of Wall Street scene where she's throwing money around and doing coke and whatever she would want to do with money. I don't know what she wants to do with money. I just know that she gets it from old people in really crappy ways, and it's really uncomfortable. The other thing is, I could never tell how this movie wanted me to feel about her. Clearly, the movie is not endorsing being terrible to elderly people. But for example, the movie seems to want us to put her and Peter Dinklage on the same plane, right? Bad person versus bad person. This is a demo derby. Let's let them smack each other around for a while. Except, I cared more about him than her. She's just so uniformly bad. She does not grow. She has no clear motivations. And at times, there's a part later in the film where she is in danger, where she has been hurt, where her girlfriend has been hurt. The movie seems to want us to feel bad for her. Whereas I was like, at what point have you made me care?
You don't care a lot.
I care virtually none. Yeah. So I couldn't get into it. I couldn't like her in a perverse way in that, like, again, I'll bring up Wolf of Wall Street. Like, I will watch Leo DiCaprio throw his money around and be terrible. I know he's terrible. I want him to fail, but I perversely like watching him be awful. This movie, I can't grab on to her. I don't know what I'm enjoying watching here.
Hmm. Interesting. So I get those vibes from the movie as well. I'm a little bit more on the pro side of this movie than you are.
Sure.
I did have some issues with the motivation factor of it. I totally get that. And one of the things that I found most frustrating about this was it kind of layers this superficial feminism on top of it.
Yes.
There's a clip from one of the earliest scenes in the movie where she is just coming out of another court session where she is going to take over as legal guardian of another person. And that person's son is in the courtroom and he's pissed. Mm-hmm. And he calls her all sorts of names. He yells misogynistic slurs at her. He spits in her face too. And this is her response.
Does it sting more because I'm a woman? That you got so soundly beaten there by someone with a vagina? Having a penis doesn't automatically make you more scary to me. Just the opposite. You may be a man, but if you ever threaten, touch, or spit on me again, I will grab your and I will rip you clean off. You understand?
I think this is obviously supposed to be a rah-rah moment. Even though she's a terrible person, she still has to face misogyny. So we're supposed to feel some type of way about that. But
that's the thing. I don't know.
But that's the question, right? It's like, okay, what does this mean? And I think this is a problem that a lot of films and TV shows have had recently, because they all do want to address this in some way. But I think they don't need to be as hammered in.
Yeah. And furthermore, this scene in particular makes it very confused, because first of all, that guy said some misogynistic things. Like you said, he used a slur several times. He also said, "I hope you get raped and killed." That is a shocking hell of a thing to deploy in your movie. And if you're going to deploy that, I feel like you need a real good reason. And if the reason is rah-rah, which I'm not even sure it is, holy crap, that doesn't work. And aside from that, it's really hard to decide how you feel about this, because also, this does not excuse it, but this man also just had his mother stolen from him. He is angry. She is the bad guy. And so I came away from it going, I don't know what you want me to think. I don't.
Right.
I'm lost.
And on top of that, there's like a recurring motif of her in a soul cycle-like environment where she's just like powering through. So I think there's obviously so many feelings one can have about soul cycle, and it's often in the news. And there's this idea of like this certain type of woman, upper class, super ambitious. I feel like this was trying to aim at Theranos-style commentary on white women and ambition and greed and corruption, and it doesn't all come together. All that being said, I actually kind of enjoyed this movie for some of the reasons you actually disliked it, to be honest, because even though I feel like the feminism, all of that stuff I mentioned is very muddled, I don't necessarily need this backstory of how she got to this point. I think sometimes in pop culture, we feel the need to like understand like how did this person get this way? And I kind of like just being dropped into their lives and kind of getting little hints here and there. There's a scene that she has later on in the film between her and Peter Dinklage where she just straight up says, "You can buy me off. Like, if you want to take care of this, you can buy me off. I just want money." He tries to threaten her that he might do harm to her own mother. And she's like, "I don't care if she was a sociopath or a psychopath or something." And so I don't necessarily need that backstory. I think of something like Killing Eve, which is a show I loved in the first season. And I loved the character of Villanelle, who was just like this, literally a sociopath. And her job was to kill people, and she took glee out of it, and that was it. By season three, it kind of got into this weird thing where we had to learn more about her backstory and her family and like why she might have gotten to the way she is. And I was just there for her and Eve having this weird dance. And I liked that. And so for me, that was what this movie kind of was just fun. Doesn't really add up to much the more you think about it, but but I don't need every movie necessarily to do that.
Right. No, I think that's fair. I do not want to turn this podcast episode into I convince Aisha why she should not like this movie. But one more thing. If we didn't get her backstory, I want movement. Like, what's wild about this movie is, like, and what could be very compelling is, first of all, her versus Peter Dinklage. Two actors I would watch eat sandwiches for 2 hours. Fine. Great. But also, it is the clash of white-collar crime versus organized crime, right? We
right.
have a professional buttoned-up gal and a literal Russian mobster going up against each other. And what's wild to me, at various moments, Rosamund Pike tases someone. She ramps up the kind of abuse that she has been doing against Diane Wiest. She does some real evil things that presumably she has never done before. What we don't see is a moment of her surprising herself or going, I'm going further. And perhaps she's just that callous, but either way, it's like she starts at Fortissimo and has nowhere to go. She's just evil, 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 evil. But does it, like, we don't see her change. It would have made me feel different about her, you know?
I absolutely think that's a totally valid, fair critique. I think for me, it was the performances, really.
Yes.
There's certain scenes. I think there are a lot of scenes that get, like, a certain rhythm really well. The scene between her and Chris Messina, who plays kind of a smarmy lawyer. It's another scene where he's trying to get her to cave in, and she's like, no. And I just think their banter is really great. And then Diane Wiest is great, where she's prickly, she's obstinate, she does not want any of this happening. I just think she really digs into that role in a really interesting way. And I love seeing her and Rosamund Pike go head to head as well.
Yes. I mean, the Chris Messina scene, I think, is probably my favorite scene in the movie. But a close second is a scene where Diane Wiest is heavily doped up and she's confronting Rosamund Pike, but of course is slurring her speech. But she says something to the effect of, you're in so much trouble. It's incredible how she delivers it with such glee, even while she's slurring her words and can't be emphatic. Oh, it's really good. Like, the performances in this are great. I can't fault anyone in this movie. Like, everybody in it is really good.
Do you have any thoughts on just the fact that they're... We're not going to give any spoilers for those who haven't watched it yet. But, you know, it is a very depressing film overall. There are no really good characters here, and I feel like this is kind of where we are right now in a lot of movies and TV shows, where yes, there's like a lot of feel good stuff out there, but then there's also this sort of cynicism about the way things are. And all of your other critiques aside, do you feel that, you know, there is room for these types of stories where everyone is irredeemable? Or is it like in this moment when we are we're all dealing with our own stuff, especially in this time, is it a little bit too much? Like, did this movie come out at the right moment or the wrong moment?
I think it did. I mean, one reason it came out at the right moment is our boomer parents are all aging, and like watching all of these older people get forced into nursing homes, like parts of this movie are very uncomfortable. It is bleak. But aside from that, after thinking about this movie, is that there's no law enforcement, right? I mean, there are the security guards at the nursing home, but there's no one coming after her. Peter Dinklage is, but no one is trying to set the world right in this movie. It is just one form of chaos against another form of chaos. Also, it is very fitting for a time when, to put my political cap on, when Americans deeply distrust institutions, right? There are no institutions that are working in this movie. And it fits the time, really, unfortunately. But, like, that kind of darkness, I guess, is where we are. So I guess the time is right, but it doesn't make me happy.
Yeah. I think that's part of what I liked about the film, is that some of what she's doing is illegal and definitely unethical. But then a lot of it is just she's able to get by because of the way the system is set up. And so they make it very clear that, you know, once she's able to declare herself a legal guardian, she's able to sell houses and then take the money. So I think it's really interesting to see that play out in this way. And in sort of a fun, well, I thought sort of fun, neo-noir thriller.
Yeah, I mean, for its faults, like, the performances are what made it watchable, I thought. Peter Dinklage is fun to watch in pretty much anything he's in, right?
Yeah.
And Diane Wiest, I wish she had more to do, but she's great. Rosamund Pike is fantastic. This is a side note. Can we talk about her hair? I mean, I don't know about you. I couldn't stop looking at it. It is the sleekest, straightest, bluntest, harsh cut at the bottom bob. I was like, I buy that. Your hair is perfect all the time, and not necessarily attractive, but perfect all the time. Yeah.
And we want to know what you think about I Care A Lot. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. And that brings us to the end of our show. Danielle, it was a pleasure to have you here.
Likewise. Thank you for having me.
And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. And if you have a second and you're so inclined, please subscribe to our newsletter at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. And we'll see you all tomorrow when we'll be talking about Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella.
Are you ready to take your career to the next level? Well, LifeKit's here to be your career counselor. All this week, we'll have episodes to help you plan your next career move. We'll give our best tips for asking for a raise, finding a mentor, switching careers, and much more. Listen now to the LifeKit podcast from NPR.